Last week, who could tell me some things we learned last week? What was the major kind of theme or point of last week? Who remembers? All right. I have prizes for Suka's skin.
About
God's kingdom. About that God is creator, okay? I know Pastor John showed a little bit of a picture, right? So we have like God is actually the crown. Remember those pictures you showed us, okay? So the crown symbolizes God, okay? And so God creates the world, okay? He creates the world, and then he creates man to rule the world, okay? So, but God is still the one that's the ultimate ruler, but he places man to rule over the world, right? But man is still underneath God's rule, in a sense, okay? So that was kind of like the summary of it, is that God created all things, he rules over all things, and he's Lord over all things, okay? And that really God sets, you know, what's truth, what's right. We talk about those things, like what's propositional truth versus just opinions and things like that. And so today, we're going to go on and talk about what happened to man, which many of you know. But maybe if we can just share, you know, kind of have some more discussion today, but in terms of share about something that's in the news today. What's in the news or recently? What are some things on the news? Anything.
The Kenya terrorist attack.
Okay, Kenya terrorist attack. Okay, so you guys heard about that at the mall there. A lot of people obviously got killed during that. What else? What else is going on? Yeah,
Matthew. Syria.
Syria, okay. What's happening in Syria? You guys aren't in the news. What's happening in Syria?
The U.S. is considering going to war because of a current attack.
Okay.
Well, not an apparent attack, it was confirmed they used
chemical weapons. Chemical weapons, yeah. But even apart from that, they're like just killing each other, right? So the government, the civil war, going on there. But yeah, even worse is the chemical attacks. What else is going on in the news?
The DC shooting last week.
Okay, yeah, there was a shooting in the Naval Yard in Washington, DC. Okay, anything else going on? Okay, yeah, that's cool. That's exciting news. Yeah. Good, good.
How much?
2%? Is that confirmed or is that?
2% of what?
Moisture?
Moisture, water.
On Mars? Okay. All right, cool. Okay. So, apart from that news, everything else is bad. I don't know what to consider that. I don't know if that's actually really good news or not. You know? It's like, why do we do that? I don't know. That's a lot of waste of money to go to Mars. there's a lot of, obviously, you know, you turn on the news, these are some big tragedies going on, but even our local news, we hear, you know, different things happening, you know, whether it be, you know, someone gets shot or killed or there's an accident or someone's protesting something. And so in general, how do you think the world is doing? If you had to give it a grade, A being excellent, F is fail, like what grade would you give the world? Like our human society, our great, you know, we're so great, but how do you think we're doing as a world? What grade would you give? Just F? Wow, man, it's tough. We went to Mars.
That's another one.
Pretty good.
That's another one. Yeah.
Fail. And then what? I'm just kidding. Anyone else? Anyone else have any other grades? Some teachers. How about our teachers? Grades. No one else? C, average. We'll just be average. Or maybe below average, but we're not doing that great if you're just looking on the news, right? If you just see what's happening in the world, kids being abducted, kids being abused, elderly being abused, taken advantage of. You see this world, you know, taking advantage of usually the ones that are the most vulnerable. You know, anytime anyone gets a chance to do something, you know, opportunity is there, then you know, you see that happening. So, you know, in a sense, if you just look at the world in that lens, okay, just that alone, just a little snippet of, you know, your 5 o'clock news or 11 o'clock news, it doesn't take you long to figure out that the world's not like the best place, right? I mean, you just see man in his kind of who we really are, in a sense, in many ways. And so, but on the flip side, okay, what's something that we see that's good? Anything other than the Mars? That's neutral. I call that neutral. I mean, can we? Is there anything that's good that's been happening that you would say is good? Anyone? It's got something. Yeah. Yeah.
School system is kind of changing their standards this year.
Okay.
Next year, everyone is going Common Core, which is all across the nation, California, because U.S. is doing really bad right now.
Yeah. Well, the school system is broken, and so they're trying to fix it. So that's positive steps. Kind of help a little bit. Anything else? Any other like anything good? Like I thought I saw something about someone saving someone off some railroad tracks, subway tracks or something. You see that happen sometimes? That's pretty good, right? Anything else? No one else? No, anyone keep track of news? You guys all have your phones? You guys want to look? Okay, there must be something out there.
There's a new iPhone.
There's a new iPhone! That's true. The gold, 500 iPhone or something. And so, you know, there's things happening. There's people, you know, when there's tragedy, like let's say the floods in Colorado, you know, there are people rescuing people. They risk their lives to help people. You know, when there's some type of disaster, people come to help those in need. You know, we would say those things are good, right? And how about kids? Can kids be good?
They're being born, okay.
And we see kids, you know, you always say, wow, you know, this child is such a good child. Like, why would we say sometimes that kids are, like, what? Like, when you see a child, you sometimes say, wow, you have such a good child, right? You hear that. Like, what is it about them that makes them say that? What is it about kids?
They obey their parents.
They obey their parents. What else? They're quiet. So if they don't obey or if they're not quiet, what are they? They're not very good. Right? So we define good in you know, very subjective way, right? Is that make a child bad because they're maybe not so quiet or they don't sit still as well? You know, how do we define these things, right? And so you know, today what we want to talk about is the problem that we have as people in general, okay, all of us, that man has, is that when man was created, God said what? You remember back in Genesis 1? Yeah, God says it's very good, okay? So if we look on the creation account, at the end of the sixth day, God says that not just that it's just only good. In verse 31 in chapter 1 of Genesis, and God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. Okay, and there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. And so God defined creation, particularly, especially after the sixth day, okay, after he created man, including everything else, that it was very good. Okay, and that's where we were at one point, okay, a long time ago, okay, and but what happened? We just jumped to chapter 3, okay? just only 2 chapters away. What happened?
We sinned,
okay? How did man sin? Yeah, they disobeyed God. Because what did God say not to do? What was the rule God gave to, well, here, Adam and Eve, right, in the garden, okay? And so Adam and Eve was created. And particularly in chapter 2, we see the more specific account of that. And then, what was the rule that God gave to Adam and Eve in chapter 2? Don't do what? What's the one thing not to do?
Eat.
Eat meat? Eat pig blood?
He should have.
Actually, you wouldn't have. They wouldn't have eaten blood at that time. Okay? Everything. There was no death yet. Okay? And so, shame on you. Eating blizzard. And dogs. Just kidding. Ranger doesn't like you guys. Just kidding. Just kidding. But that's my dog. But don't eat from what? The tree
of the knowledge of good and evil.
Okay, knowledge of good and evil. And so in chapter 3, what did they do? They eat from the
tree
of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay. So the one thing that God said not to do, they did. Even though they could have eaten from every other, you know, fruit or tree or leaf, I don't know, whatever they were eating, bushes, okay? They had to eat that one, okay? And God, you know, obviously gave them one thing not to do, and they disobeyed. And since Genesis chapter 3, we see now all these things, like Syria, the naval yard shooting, terrorist attack at Kenya, and the list goes on and on and on and on, right? And what is the problem that we have as men? What is the problem? What's the problem?
Sin.
Sin. And how would you define sin? How do you define sin? Someone define sin for me. Yeah, that's right. Sin, this one, sin. How do we define sin? It's just simple.
Missing the mark.
Huh?
Missing the mark.
What mark?
Holiness,
right? And who sets that mark? God does, right? And so anything that basically disobeys God, right? Or misses the mark in terms of God's standard of perfection, of holiness, of moral perfection, okay, and following God's command. But, okay, the deeper problem of sin is what we want to talk about today, okay? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 3, okay? So a lot of times we talk about sin, but it becomes, the idea of sin becomes doing things and not doing things, right? Like not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And so since they disobey that, they sin. Just like when God tells a child and all of us not to lie, and a child lies and you lie, you've sinned. And when God tells us not to covet and you covet, we sin. And when God tells us to don't steal, and you steal, then you sin, right? And so the problem is that we sin, but there's a deeper problem behind that sin. And that's what we want to talk about today. So Romans chapter 3, verse 10, okay? It states this: none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Okay? So, just looking at those couple of verses, okay? How many people in the world are righteous? None. Okay? None. Zero. Okay? How many people seek after God? None, right? No one seeks for God, right? Not even one person. How many people have turned away from God's rule? All, right? All have turned aside, right? Verse 12. Okay? And so man in its totality, okay, from the first man, okay, and the only other man that we can say that is not fit this category is obviously Jesus Christ, okay? But everyone since Adam and Eve till whoever is going to be the last man that's ever born on this world, we all are in this category, okay? None of us are righteous. No one seeks after God. And we've all turned away from God's rule. So what's the problem? What's our problem? Is it just not following rules? Is it just not following what God said to do and not to do? Is it just that we've just keep making, you know, mistakes, you know, and we keep forgetting how to follow certain rules? Like, you know, kids, you know, they always forget to raise their hand in class, right? Like, that's the rule, classroom rules, right? Or, you know, you have to not talk when the teacher's talking. You know, and you've all broken that as kids, right? We've all broken those rules, classroom rules, at school as kids. And so, is that all it is? If we just kept the rules, would we be good enough? Would we be righteous? Would we be the one that turns toward God? And the answer is what? No. Okay, the answer is no. Even if from your birth you comprehended every commandment of God and you followed it, every commandment of God, are you less of a sinner?
No.
You're still a sinner. You're still underneath the wrath of God and condemned for that. Because it's not about keeping the rules or breaking rules, right? Because all that is, all the things that are happening in Kenya, all the things that have happened in Syria is a result of our sin. Okay? It's a result of our hearts. It's a result of who we worship. It's not about the fact that they just broke some rules. Okay? When someone chooses to kill someone, it's not that, wow, you know, they broke that rule of do not murder. Okay, it's a deeper issue, and we all are under that issue. It's basically, all. If you have to summarize it, it is that we are in rebellion to God. Okay, we are born as rebels, little rebels, okay? And we grow up to become big rebels. And whether we kept the laws or kept the rules, okay, we are still rebels to God, okay? Whether you're the one who goes out and kills thousands of people, or you're the one who appears to be good outwardly, who seems to be the one that follows the rules, okay? And so this is the deeper problem that man has. And that's what we want to talk about today, because the bottom line is, when we have God as our, when God was king, okay, when he was creator, he created the world and he put us as the ones to, in a sense, rule the world, okay, as his instruments, okay, something changed in Genesis 3, okay, this kind of, what do you want to call it, like, the way that God set up the world changed in Genesis 3, okay? And what happened was that, okay, we no longer want God to be king anymore, okay? Okay. And Genesis 3 is Adam and Eve chose to not let God be king, okay? And instead, okay, this is us, okay? This is like elementary school, I feel like. But instead, the whole point of our problem that man has is that we want to become king, okay? We want to take place of God. And so when the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 says, basically, in a sense, don't you want to be like God, okay, to know what's good and evil? That's what Adam and Eve wanted. They wanted to be God, okay? And they wanted to be the one to determine what was right and what was wrong and how to live in this life outside of God's creative plan, okay? And so you know, we have to be reminded of that, okay, that all of us, okay, started there, okay, even as you know, before we knew Christ, okay, all of us were in rebellion to God, and everyone in this world is, and that's the problem of man. It's not that we just do bad things, okay, but that we're in rebellion against our Creator, our King, our Lord, who is the one that deserves all glory and power and deserves our worship, right? And so, you know, and this you see every day in a, this idea of wanting to become God or wanting to become the one in charge, right? You see this every day lived out, right? You even see the bumper sticker. Have you seen the bumper sticker, like question authority? Have you seen those? I don't think they're around as much anymore, but I've seen them recently. I've seen one recently. But there's like a bumper sticker about like question authority, right? What is it about authority or someone that's telling you what to do, like that rubs us the wrong way, right? Like, isn't there something about that, that when someone else tells you like how to do things, you know, tells you what the rules are, that for some reason you have this desire to not listen or want to think that you know better, that it should be done a different way. You know, this happens a lot, you know, especially in our workplaces, okay, for most of us here. But when we're growing up, right, we see that in our, you know, when we were kids to our parents. Right, how many of you guys obeyed your parents all the time? Who? Yeah, right there. Okay. That's a good child. Okay. Right? So, like, none of us did, right? Because why? Why didn't we? Because we were, we thought we were so much smarter, right? We thought, you know, they didn't understand. You know, they don't know what it means to be young, they're old, they don't know what it means to, you know, have fun, they don't know what it means to live in America, they might not spoken English, and they don't know how things are done here, or whatever it is, right? And so, we see this especially in kids, okay, for whatever reason, okay, when they know that their parents love them, you know, feed them, they're always looking out for their best interest, you know, they want to protect them, and all these things, you know, you give them all these toys and everything, and then they still want to wear the other shoe, or, you know, and they fight over it, or they want that one piece of candy, you know, that you said no to after you've had, you know, a gallon of ice cream already, right? And you say, no candy this time. And they scream and yell. And they lay on the floor. You know, they start to turn blue. You know, they're ready to die for that piece of candy, right? So, you know, they're laying there. You know, you see this happen, right? And so what is it that drives that child, okay? And we look at these kids and go, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this child would do such a thing. And then you're at your workplace going, man, that boss doesn't know what he's doing. You know, if I had this, and you lay there on the floor, yeah, I'm going to hold my breath till, you know, I turn blue, and you do the same thing, right? But, you know, a little more sophisticated. You put it on Facebook, right? Or something like that. And so we all want to fight against authority, and it's seen particularly and universally, okay, in our rebellion against the one that we should be following, and that is God, the Creator, who is actually the one that has all authority, who has true authority, because He created everything, and so He owns everything, and so He's the one, if anyone, who should set the rules for everything, right? And so, at the heart of everything that we do, okay, as man, okay, as humans, is that we rebel against ultimately the one that has the ultimate authority, okay, and that is God. And so we see this, you know, in Romans chapter 1, and I think I remember Pastor John read this passage last week as well, but Romans chapter 1 in verse 18 says this: "For the wrath of God is revealed, right, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Right? We're the ones that want to rebel or go against the truth of who God is. We don't want him to be king. We don't want him to be Lord. We don't want him to be the one with ultimate authority, because that's the truth. And so we, in our own hearts, choose to say, no, we're not going to follow God, because I want to be the authority. I want to be the king. I want to be the Lord. I want to be the one who sets the rules for my life. In verse 19, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And so they're choosing, even though in their heart of hearts and in their consciences they understand that God is there, they choose to not acknowledge him. They choose to not honor him. They choose to not give thanks to him. And so then they continue down this path of basically, you know, rebelling against God, right? Just rebelling against who he really is. And in verse 22, claiming to be wise, right? I mean, that is who we are, right? We claim to be wise. We claim to know everything. We claim to know the truth. We claim to know what it means, the purpose of life. We claim to know where we came from and where we're going to end up. We claim to know what is good. We claim to know what is the things that we should strive after. We claim to know who we think are the higher class, or the ones that are deserving honor, the people that deserve honor, and so forth. We think we know these things. We claim to be wise, but instead, what? We became fools. Because why? Because we exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Right? We exchanged it for awards, Emmys, Grammys, you know, celebrities. You know, we bow down to them thinking they're so great. You know, we worship the creature. We worship the created things of life. You know, iPhones, the Mars thing. Like, wow, man, what an accomplishment. You know, we sent this robot to a faraway planet that we'll never be able to do anything about. Right? Like, it's not going to make a difference, right, for you. But it's such an accomplishment. You know, man strives for these things because we want to be praised, and we want to be given the thanks. We want to be given the honor. We want to be given the glory. We want the worship ultimately. And so we always strive, even maybe in our own personal lives on a smaller scale. We strive in our workplaces, in our homes, to be recognized, to be given praise, to be given honor. And people are driven, right? Driven to succeed in life because of those things. Right? I mean, you probably know a lot of people that are very driven, because they're driven to succeed for their own glory. Okay, and people, you know, sleepless nights. You know, they work till dawn, and then they go home, take a shower, and come back to work because they're driven, right, for this kind of praise and honor that they want. And so really that's the state of man, and that's where man is, and that is the problem, because all of us, okay, are in that position as rebels, that we've rebelled against the one that has the ultimate authority. Okay, and so last week, as we looked at God as the creator, the one that created all things and deserves praise and glory and honor, we've decided to take his place. You know, even in our own little minds, we've taken his place, right? And everything that God stands for, we go against, because we think that if we choose to disobey or rebel against God, that we would receive that glory and honor that God deserves, that we would receive it for ourselves. Right? And so that's the heart that we're all, we all have. And it's not about, how much you've sinned or how great of a sin. Okay, like going back to this, all these disasters or tragedies, right? Like in Syria, right? I mean, those the people that would do those things, or at the Kenya Mall. I mean, that's just, you look at that, you go, wow, that's so evil, right? We look at that and go, I can't believe people would really go in there and just kill innocent people just because, right? Just to make a statement. Or people would, abduct and kidnap kids and kill them, right? And then we think, wow, that's, who would dare do those things? Why would someone be driven to do something so, what we would consider evil in our eyes? And so when we look at people like that, we say, wow, that's really bad, right? And it is. It is really bad. And it is really evil. And it is a tragedy, okay, that people would really go to those lengths. When we look at history with Hitler, and what he did, and we think, wow, that's just crazy, right? And you have those people. But the problem is, we sometimes look at those people and then we compare ourselves to those people. And we think, at least I'm not that bad. At least I would never do that. See, the problem isn't about how much we've sinned. It's about that we're all rebelling against God. Whether we do it outwardly, like these people have done, or we do it internally and very quietly in our own hearts. The problem is that those that think they're good are maybe those that are even worse in rebellion against God than those that maybe outwardly show it. Because in their hearts, right, they're killing people. In their hearts, they're committing adultery. In their hearts, right, they're cursing against man and against God. And so we can't compare people from what we do outwardly. And the common thing we all have is that we were all born as rebels, as being rebellious against God as our Creator. And so whichever way it is, whether you do it quietly or you do it outwardly, we all have that problem, that we're all in rebellion against our Lord. Okay, and so in Romans 8, verse 7, it kind of sums it up for us, is that for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, or other translations is at enmity against God. We're an enemy of God. We're on the other side. You're not on God's team. When we're without Christ, you are His enemy. You're basically doing all that you can to go against God, in a sense. And so we're hostile to God. Our hearts, right, our mind, does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's something that I think, if you don't know Christ, okay, is that we need to come to grips with that, is that in of ourselves, we can never choose to love God. We can never choose to love God. Even though man has, in a sense, an ability to love, right? I mean, we have that ability to love God, but we can't love God. We won't be able to love God, okay? In of ourselves. It's like the analogy is kind of like, you know, the water. Water has the ability to flow, right? Like it flows down like a stream, but it can't flow back up the stream. Okay, it flows, but it can't go up the stream. Can't flow back up. And so in the same sense, we have the ability to love, okay, but we're never going to have the ability in of ourselves to love God by ourselves. Okay, and so to think that somehow we can love God in of ourselves is impossible. Because it says, basically it says, we cannot submit to God's law. Okay, we cannot please God. And so, in a sense, we're stuck, right? I mean, as man, we're stuck in our rebellion because we can't do what's right. No one does right, righteous. No one is righteous. No one does good. No one seeks after God. No one can submit to God's law. No one can please God. Right? And so if we were left like that, right, then the news that we hear is the news that life is all about. And all of us, okay, all of us were the same as the guys that committed these crimes. We're in the same boat. Okay, we're as rebellious to God as Hitler was. We're as rebellious to God as these terrorists were. We're as rebellious to God as what the guys who led these attacks in Syria were. We're as rebellious to God as all of these evil acts, all the people that carried out these evil acts are. All right. And so, because we've decided, right, back to the picture, right, we've decided to become our own king, okay? And how you want to live your life is basically how you want to live your life. And so then we have these things happening in our world, right? And that's what happens because, you know, we've become the king of our own world and we've made up our own rules. That it's okay to do these things. That it's okay to go into a mall and start killing people. Okay. That it's okay to go and murder a child. Yeah, it's okay to go and rape a woman. Right? And it's okay to go and, you know, keep people prisoners in your own house for years and years. Right? Because you've become your own king. Okay. But fortunately, okay. Fortunately, okay, God doesn't leave us there, right? God doesn't leave us there. And as the weeks go on, okay, that will start to obviously work through the gospel, that it really does, you know, we're working through this idea of that there's two ways to live, okay? And obviously one is to follow Christ and one is not, okay? But we have to start here and understanding that this is where we were all at that place. Well, we're still at that place in our life, that we're still king of our own lives, or we put God back as king of our life. Okay. And that's really the two choices that we're going to have. But how we get there is what we'll talk about in the weeks to come. Okay? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your truth, Lord, that reveals to us, Lord, just how far we've fallen as your creation, Lord. And Lord, even though in our hearts we may understand these things or may be able to grasp the truth of these things, Lord, help us to really take a look in our own hearts to see if we really truly do understand the depth of our rebellion against you, and Lord, against the one, the only one that deserves all authority, that has all authority, that deserves our praise, that deserves our glory to you, Lord, that it would be only you alone in our hearts, and help us to see what we see in this world, and through your word, that it is a result of the rebellious heart of man that chooses to deny you, that chooses to suppress the truth, and chooses to become their own king. And Lord, we live in a world that is surrounded with tragedy after tragedy, and it is no wonder that in your word that the creation groans for the day that you would return and make things right again. And Lord, I pray that you would help us here to consider what we've heard today, and even consider where we are with you, and understanding where our own hearts are or have been, and help us to consider, Lord, what we're going to do with that truth, and that we would desire to want to know you, and desire to want to put our trust in you, that we would no longer be those that would rebel against you, but instead we would desire to want to be a child of yours. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand more of your truth in the upcoming weeks, and consider what it means to truly understand what Christ accomplished on the cross, and that you will help us to turn to you with all our heart, soul, and mind. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.